It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome to Money for Lunch. It's exciting to have you here. I am actually excited to talk with today's guest, primarily because he was on the show, I want to say, about a year or so ago, and it was just a fun time speaking with him, and he's just got a really neat story. I'm excited to have him back. And today's quote of the day is so apropos for today's guest, and I can't wait for you to meet Steve Alton. Today's quote of the day: there are no quick wins in business. It takes years to become an overnight success. And that is by Richard Branson. All right. Having said that, let's get this party started. Steve Alton is my guest today. Steve Alton is the New York Times and international best-selling author of 18 thrillers, including the Meg series about a megalodon featured in the upcoming Warner Brothers movie, The Meg, starring Jason Statham. And I am so delighted that he's back on the show. Steve Alton, welcome back.
Thank you, Bert. Appreciate it.
All right. So speaking of an overnight success, I mean, this has been an exciting ride because, you know, in the very beginning, from if I remember correctly, and you had pretty quick success with the Meg, and you had somebody who bought the movie rights right away, and then things fell apart. So why don't you kind of tell the audience your story, your overnight success story, if you will?
Okay. Well, I guess it started in 1995. When I had picked up a Time magazine article on the Mariana Trench, and it talked about hydrothermal vents and all sorts of life at the bottom of the ocean 7 miles down. And when I was younger, I had been enamored with Jaws. I saw the movie, then read the book, and then read everything I could about great white sharks. And there was always a blurb about Carcharodon megalodon, the prehistoric cousin of the great white, the 70-foot prehistoric cousin of the great white.
Yeah.
And when I read that Time magazine article, I thought, you know, this would make a great book if it's feasible. So I went to the library because there was no internet back then, and I did 30 days of research, and I was convinced I had a great story. I'd never written a book before. So I set the goal that I would write, because I had a job that I was struggling in. The only time for me to work on the book would be 10 o'clock at night till 3 in the morning and on weekends. And so I wrote the book and sent out. I had no ins in publishing. So once the manuscript was done, I sent out 2-page query letters to everyone in the industry who handled fiction to see if I could find a list. And I found one gentleman who was interested, and he wanted $6,000 to edit the book. And I didn't have $6,000, but I had a car that my dad had bought me, a convertible, a classic Chevy Malibu convertible that I sold to raise money and borrowed money here and there. And we edited the book together. And then on Friday the 13th in 1996, I went to work. I was working as a general manager in a wholesale meat company, which is a long story in itself. But the family that ran the business no longer needed me, so they let me go, and I had no money in the bank. And 4 days later, Meg went out to the six biggest publishing houses in New York. Now, buoyed by the fact that we had already a first-look deal with Disney's Hollywood Pictures for the movie rights, the book went on, was offered a 2-book, 7-figure deal for Meg and another book. So, to make a long story short, on how things got started for me, we had a first-look deal with Hollywood Pictures. So Meg was actually optioned to be a movie before it was optioned to be a book.
Interesting.
And then what happened was is Pictures, the head of the studio was fired. And when that happened, the incoming president never takes on the work of his predecessor, because if it succeeds, of course, then they credit the other guy. So the rights reverted back to me, and then nothing happened for about 6 years. And in 2004, I was talking to a friend of mine, Nick Nunziata, who was the creator of Chud.com, Cinematic Happenings Under Development. And when he found out that Meg was available, he showed it to two of his friends, Lloyd Levin and Guillermo del Toro, the director, who the two of them had worked on Hellboy together. And so they optioned Meg for basically for a dollar to represent it. And they had me write a script of my own. And then they added Jan DeBont, the director of Twister, to the project. And Jan and I worked on a script together for a while. And then once it was ready, they took the package out to New Line Cinema. Well, excuse me, New Line optioned it, but they added a new screenwriter, Shane Salerno, who was pretty accomplished, but he decided to take the storyline in a completely different direction. And so that it was basically unrecognizable from the books. And he basically turned it into Moby Dick with a shark. And it was really bad. And meanwhile, New Line had optioned the foreign rights to the movie, but had undersold them so that they couldn't get co-financing on the movie. So basically, the project languished at New Line for 2 years until they returned it, because it wasn't going anywhere. Now, once I got the rights back in 2008, I immediately fired everyone attached and optioned the book to a friend of mine, Bell Avery, who's a producer, whose forte is raising money. And what Bell wanted to do was take it away from the studio's control and raise the money independently, which she did. She had a deal with Gravity Pictures in China, and they put up the money. And then they took that package to Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers didn't want to just distribute it. They wanted to own a piece of it, too. So they worked out a deal with Warner Brothers, and now we're about 3 weeks away from seeing the movie.
Wow. That's incredible. It's just it's amazing. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited for, you know, the trailer that I've seen looks fantastic. And have you had a chance to see the movie yet?
Not yet, but I've seen all the trailers, and they look tremendous.
Yeah. And now, being the writer, are you going to be at the red carpet?
God willing, yes. That's on August 6th.
Yeah, that should be – I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I think that what do you call it? Jason Statham adds so much fun and credibility to the movie. I just can't wait. And you know, they have it's just a great character. I mean, a great cast of characters. And so it looks amazing. It looks fun. I love, as you said, the trailers look great. Let me ask you this. So here you are. You pick up this magazine, and it's talking about the Mariana Trench, and so why don't you tell us, you know, what is this Mariana Trench? Because I didn't even know about it until you were on the show, like I said, about a year ago. And so why don't you tell our listeners, what is the Mariana Trench?
Well, the Mariana Trench is the deepest part of the ocean. It's 7 miles down. It's about 1,500 miles long and about 40 miles wide. And the pressure down there, the water pressure is so tremendous. I think it's about 16,000 pounds per square inch of pressure. But there is life down there, and it's a subduction zone, meaning that there's one plate that's being pushed up against another. And that creates... They created this big gully, this trench. So it's a hydrothermally active area, too. A lot of volcanoes down there, a lot of hydrothermal activity. which is the ingredient of life.
Right. And what's amazing, because like I said, last time you were on the show, I did some research on this, and it's amazing the footage of life at this, really this almost uninhabitable, almost what do you call it, inhospitable or uninhabitable type of environment. You wouldn't think anything would survive.
Well, that's what they used to think until they actually went down there and took a look for themselves, not in the Mariana Trench, but the bottom of other oceans like the Atlantic, when they had the Alvin submersible. Man assumed that life could not exist without sunlight, because sunlight causes energy and you have photosynthesis, and that's what creates life. Well, there's another type of energy source, too, that they discovered, that's chemosynthesis, chemicals in the water. And so you have these hydrothermal vents that are spewing 700-degree Fahrenheit mineralized water along with sulfur and other mixtures of chemicals that feed the life forms down there. And so you have these giant tube worms that feed off of the elixir coming out of the hydrothermal vents. And the tube worms become food for fish and fish for bigger fish and so on down the line.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so the movie, or I should say the book, takes place in the Mariana Trench, right? I mean, if that's correct, right? It takes place there, and I believe that there is also a related discovery made in the 1800s by the research vessel Challenger Deep. Talk about this.
Well, when I started researching the storyline for the book, there were two things that I found most fascinating. One was that Megalodon was not just a real creature, but it had only disappeared rather recently. But these were not dinosaur sharks. These were giant apex predators that ruled the oceans for 30 million years and only disappeared maybe the last 100,000 years, which means man was around when they were around. The other thing is that as an apex predator, they had no natural enemies except for possibly orca, because orca hunt in packs. But in order for a megalodon shark, which is a fish, to evade a whale, which is an air breather, it simply needs to go deep. And the fact is that of all of our oceans that cover this 70% of our planet, only 5% of the ocean has been explored and less than 1% of the deep water. So we really don't know what's out there. You know, there's an assumption made by biologists, marine biologists, that Megalodon died off. But just because they're not around the surface showing us their telltale fins doesn't mean that they're not out there.
Right. Yeah, we don't know what's out there because
we haven't looked.
We haven't looked. And so who's to say what's out there? And, you know, there is a, some discoveries that every now and then, you know, people who thought that these fish no longer were in existence are now being found to be, alive and thriving. A few years ago, in fact, there's even a commercial about it, about the coelacanth that they caught, you know, like in 2000 or something.
Yeah, this is a lobe-fin fish that dates back several hundred million years, and they found them living in the deep waters off of the coast of Africa.
Yeah. And so here's a fish that everybody said was extinct, and all of a sudden somebody caught one. So it goes to show you, we don't have any idea what's on there. Now, because you've done some research and you spent a lot of time studying Megalodon, do you think that it's possible for this, you know, massive fish to be out there?
I think scientifically it's possible. That doesn't mean that it is out there, but you can't make a statement and call it scientific by saying, well, I haven't seen one, so they don't exist.
Right.
Well, you know, hippos don't exist by that same definition unless you go to Africa and go see one.
Right.
So, you know, you don't know. We know the megalodons did exist. And if they're in the deep, well, there's a logical reason for it, because they were trying to evade a predator.
Yeah, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have, just real quick, Meg hits theaters August 10th. And, you know, it's expected to, you know, to be a blockbuster. If you haven't seen the trailer, I would definitely go on YouTube and type in the Meg, or type in Meg trailer, and you'll see it. And then we have a quick audio here to play.
A living fossil.
Thought to have been extinct over 2 million years. Wrong.
My God.
It's Megalodon.
He's kidding, right?
Anyway, it just gives you a really an audio teaser, if you will, and so the trailer is even more amazing. I have to admit, when you see in the trailer the shark biting into the glass, whatever the submersible is, it's amazing. I just thought that one scene, if that trailer would have just been that one scene alone, it still just captures the imagination, doesn't it?
Yeah, and my publisher, A&M Publishing, has released a new rendition of the book, The Meg, in trade paperback that's in all bookstores now and on Amazon. And it's the most updated book out there in the Meg series, and comes with two bonuses. One is an unpublished prequel, and the other is 17 images taken over the last 22 years by graphic artists. So it packs a lot.
Excellent. And if somebody wants to go out and get this updated version, can they get this at Amazon, or is there a specific website?
Yes, it is. It's just look up The Meg by Steve Alten, Alten, on Amazon or any other website, or in bookstores as well.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And the other thing that I mentioned in the intro there is that you went from never written a book to now you've written 18 books. And you went from, again, never writing a book to this is now your livelihood, correct?
Correct.
And
but it has not been smooth sailing, to take that theme that just played. It's been rough seas. It's been sort of a roller coaster ride. As many ups as I've had downs as well. We lost 2 out of the 3 movie deals that we had. I had a book deal canceled 2 weeks before I was supposed to be paid $800,000. We just moved into a new house and ended up losing our home. So the stress of the years have taken a toll, and unfortunately, I've taken a toll with it. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 12 years ago.
Wow.
So there are challenges. It's not all peaches and cream.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, people have this illusion that, hey, that once you become an author, you know, life is, you know, magical, especially if you're a New York Times bestselling author, especially if you're a New York Times bestselling author with a movie deal, life must be just great. And, you know, and you can testify that it's, as you said, it has not been smooth sailing. You've had a lot of ups and a lot of downs.
Correct. And
but
you've got to have thick skin too, or else you don't survive this kind of stuff.
Right. But let me ask you this. Having lived both lives, when you were in the, was it wholesale business? And now as an author, would you go back?
Would I trade the movie deals and the book deals and the fame for not having a disease?
Oh, no, no.
That's how I equate the question. I mean,
gotcha.
I never go back to a wholesale meat company. I mean, that was just a temporary job while I was writing the book. But, you know, given that choice, some days I wonder, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
well, of course.
I would take what has been given and, you know, hang in there.
Sure. Let me ask you this, because not only have you dealt with a lot of challenges, but again, you're now dealing with Parkinson's, and you know, again, you had this situation where they dangled $800,000 in front of you, and the last minute it's pulled away, and as you mentioned, you lost your home. So, how do you deal with fear?
How do I deal with fear? That's a good question. I think that you have to face it and analyze it and figure a way out of it and not ignore it. I think that with challenges, I have a tendency to understand that there's a lot of people out there that have it far worse than I do, and so you need to keep your problems in perspective. And if you do that, then hopefully you don't get swallowed up.
Yeah, yeah.
Phrase.
What's that?
To excuse the Megalodon pun.
Yeah. All right, so let me ask you this. Do you have a personal self-talk or mantra or affirmation or self-belief that contributes to your success?
Not one in particular, no. But I have a lot of things taped over my desk and on my shelves and positive affirmations.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes to, let's say, you know, if you were, I don't know, let's say a parting word of advice, you know, however that strikes you, maybe you want to talk to an entrepreneur or a writer or whatever, any parting words of advice?
Negatives cannot pierce my positivity.
Ooh, there you go. There's a nice word of advice as well as a nice affirmation. So I like that. Yeah, absolutely. And so the red carpet event is August 6th. The movie is goes nationwide here in the good U.S. of A. on August 10th. And you know, I'm excited for you, Steve. I know it's been a long journey for you, and I'm excited about the movie coming out as well as this special edition book of the Meg.
Thank you, Bert. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's always good to have you, and looking forward to catching up with you again, buddy.
Thank you.
All righty. Good stuff there from international best-selling author Steve Alton. And Steve Alton, as I mentioned, he's got 18 thrillers out there, the Meg series, and he's got a bunch of other ones. Check him out at Amazon, or you can go to themeg.com, I think. Is that what it is? Anyway, so There is just all sorts of great places find Steve's books. And not to mention, right now, if you go to Amazon or to stevealton.com, that's the website to go to, Steve Alton. It's A-L-T-E-N.com, stevealton.com. Not only are all his books there, but you can get the special edition there as well, you can get it on Amazon. Now, to put this in perspective, okay, the Meg is coming up on 20 years. And so think about that. That is Steve Alton's overnight success. And again, you can order this special edition. It comes with the prequel that talks about Meg's origins. And then I will be watching the movie coming out August 10th, and it's going to be a blast. And I'm sure it's going to, slow down people hitting the water, at least the beach waters, right? Anyway, I'm looking forward to getting just getting scared out of my gore a little bit and watching Steve Alton's book come to life. Again, you can go to Steve Alton, ALTEN.com, and check out all his books there. Get the special edition of The Meg. And my friends, let's share this show with everybody you know. Let's introduce everybody to Steve Alton. Most people know his glory. They know about his best-selling books. They know about his thrillers. But they don't know his story. They don't know that it took, almost 20 years to get here. They don't know some of the ups and downs that we talked about today. They don't know through it all, he's battling Parkinson's, right? And anyway, so just a very nice gentleman and always fun to have him on the show. Let's share this episode with everybody and let's get the word out there. Let's help him sell as many books as possible. Also, don't forget about seeing the movie. And my friends, thank you so much. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.